Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Anti-Magic Academy 35th Test Platoon, which was your choice.
It was my choice. And dear God, what a choice it was. Now, if you wouldn't mind, would you mind going over the categories this thing was in?
Sure. But before that, we were talking about...
I'm always jumping the gun.
You're fine, man. It's all good. We were talking about previous job experiences and how long it's been since I've actually last smoked, and journeys and discussions in revolving around that. And for all those curious, I have not had anything of a nicotine related nature in 4 years. You want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you all that bonus content plus bonus episodes. And for all those wondering, for the month of January, the bonus episode that we will be recording, Cowboy Bebop, the live action as done by Netflix, as voted on by our patrons. Yay team. Tell the enthusiasm in my voice.
Yeah. I almost made a few accounts just to like tilt the scale, but we promised each other we wouldn't do that.
Exactly. So all that being said, Anti-Magic Academy 35th Test Platoon is 12 episodes long, came out in October 2015, ran all the way through December 2015. Producers for it were Clockworks Mages, Glowvision, Kodokawa. Studio for it was Silverlink. It's based off of a light novel. The genres for it are action, fantasy, romance, supernatural, ecchi, harem, and military.
See, there's one in there I'm not quite sure of why it was even in there. Like, ecchi. I have no idea why that is under the category.
It had some...
Is what I would say if I'd never watched episode 1 5 minutes in. Or, sorry, 45 seconds in. Yeah. Like I went into, I'm like, there's no way there can be that. Oh God, there's that much. It is almost constant fan service.
I wouldn't go quite that far.
I counted 3 episodes where you don't see someone trying to unbutton something.
Yeah. But see how you're kind of depicting it makes it sound like it is just, you know, TNA everywhere at all times, 100% of the time. And sometimes that TNA ain't even there. Sometimes it's just A and it's the guy. I'm just
getting you. You got a point.
So
that said, there's still some swords in there too. They've got some tentacle stuff sometimes.
They do.
I want to say episode 9 was the beach scene. And
to be fair, they labeled it 9.5, so 9, and okay, then halfway through they went 9.5. It was like, let's like, differentiate.
This is a different one.
Yeah, these are two different. It's like nine is just a filler, and 9 is you know full well is,
oh yeah,
is the obligatory. It was, it's beach scene times two for two different reasons, but that's all right.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to complain. So, you know, the overall story, the overall premise behind it all is, I want to say, interesting.
How many subplots do you think there are? Because I think there was one overarching plot that didn't really get talked about a lot. And you're introduced to that one essentially day one, or episode one. Our main character wants to be a good inquisitor, and his reason for it is to get out of debt, you know, kind of noble, but they don't really, I think that's the main story, but it's not touched upon, you know what I mean? Until hardly ever.
Yeah. And And I want to say they do have this kind of overall arcing story for it, just and that's kind of encompassing it. So you have like the whole thing is the world is basically under constant attack by all these magical like threats or whatever you want to say. And I really want to say that they could have done so much more with that, because in the beginning, they really kind of built it up and they built it up a yeah. lot. And well, they also they
kept adding to it.
They did. They added a lot. So you have these magical artifacts that are out there that are very threatening, and you have different ranks for them, and they range in a variety of things. And then you have the Inquisitors, which is what the anti-magical people are. They're Inquisitors. They go out there, they mm-hmm. bite the witches and mages of the world that are evil, that are trying to destroy and all this other stuff. And it can get really deep, and I feel like we were cheated on it.
Yes. So I'll go a step further and I think explain a little bit better. The world building here was top notch.
It was
like, if you were to turn this into a book series or a manga series, I think it'd be amazing.
Well, if you were to take the story off of a light novel, I mean, it's
but I mean like a Naruto level length, because you've got the Inquisitors, mm-hmm. you've got the witches, both yep. good and bad. Although the Inquisitors really only see magic as being bad. And then you have the alchemists. And I think there was like one other subset of researchers that we really didn't see. And then you also have demons. You have the mythical dark elves. You've got like they've got a whole crap load of D&D crap in here that they could use.
Yes.
So like they've got a wide base that they could cherry pick from. And I think what they introduced and the way they introduced it was nice. And it was a bit convoluted at times.
It was too much.
Well, what I was going to say is I feel like what they were trying to go for was almost too diverse of a group to show unity. Now, when I say diverse, I don't mean like ethnically or familially or country even. It was just diverse in background to suit the fact that, oh, all these groups that oppose each other, the alchemists, the mages, the Inquis, they can, it's possible for them to, with an open mind, work together and achieve great things.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this. This is going to make me sound either old or twisted in some way. I don't know, but I find this anime did a really good job of making me not only understand, but sympathize with the big bad guy, because his reason for doing stuff makes way more sense than everyone else's, in my opinion.
So who for you was the big bad guy?
The big bad guy for me was the male witch, the necromancer that keeps showing up throughout the whole series.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a part of the big bad. He is the face for the overall bad. I'm going to use air quotations, bad group. And I don't feel like we're given enough information. I feel like we are lacking in a lot of information, because if I'm completely honest, he kills. It's 100% messed up, and he will totally do whatever he can to help manipulate whoever it is. 100%, no question.
Well, so I feel like he's the most human character that we have on there, because he doesn't neglect any emotion. Like, his whole thing is, I love people. I love killing people. I kill people because I love them so much, and I can bring them back whenever I want, so I can end their suffering by killing them. And he also goes with the twisted route of, he loves all emotion that people can exhibit, from joy, love, jubilation, to horror, terror, dismay. And what was kind of funny is one of the main characters, not one of the main characters. Okay, fine. One of the main characters, one of her traits is the fact that she does not show emotion. She is 100% analytical, almost like a walking computer. And their counterpart to the evil section, which I believe she was part of the alchemists, the evil part of that.
No. Also, that's the thing, right? She wasn't a part. She was a part of the alchemists, but then she joined the group that he was a part of, which was called Valhalla. And they are the big, bad, overarching bad guys that he is a part of. And same thing with what's her face? Mari. Mari was a part of Valhalla, but she was manipulated into joining Valhalla and do things for Valhalla because of what he had done, what the Necromancer had done. Granted, that only took all of 2 episodes for them to explain, flesh out, and then solve all in the span of like 2 or 3 episodes, right?
Yeah.
So you had this whole buildup, this, and then a resolution. So you had the buildup and resolution. And I feel like they did that several times throughout.
Yeah. That's probably, yeah, I agree with that. And that, to me, that's kind of why it felt like it was a bigger show. It felt like there was more stories than just the bare minimum that they threw out there.
Yeah, no, there was so much more because even in the buildup and then resolution, there were still stories that were branching off of that, and that there was more information going with it, and that everyone was still talking about it. So it's not like it was built up, given a resolution, and then you moved on. It was built up, given a resolution, and then later on they would reference it in some facet, in some fashion.
Yeah, the continuity here was impressive.
The problem is that there's just too much. There was too much going on for 12 episodes. There was still a lot going on.
Okay. I can see, so you say there was a lot going on, and I kind of feel like it was worth it. I feel like they didn't do as much as they could have in certain aspects, and they didn't waste time in others. Like, I don't need 4 episodes for one person's backstory to find out how desperate and how relatable they are. Granted, they all had relatable backstories to a very minor degree, but they all were cookie cutter in the sense that they all had the exact same solution. And in harems, that's kind of how it is. Like, you're not going to find deep meaning and I mean, like,
yeah,
in any harem, the answer is always at, forgive my language, but the answer is basically always in the pants of the protagonist.
Yeah.
So, and granted, they didn't do anything that drastic here. However, it was implied a few times, and it was hilariously implied a few times. And of course, as harems go, our main protagonist was a very shy virgin, and he was like, "Well, what are you doing?" And self-restraining. And what I mean by that is, like, if they hold him against a bed, his hands are out to the side, like he's paralyzed and can't move. And
yeah, but that goes to say with every ecchi harem type. Well, no, I'm actually going to take that back. Not every single one. I would say the ones that really focus heavily on, try to focus on the romance portion of it.
Okay. Okay.
Because there are plenty of protagonists, plenty of them that are out there that are ecchi harem style-esque, and the protagonist definitely is not shy. He is very handsy. The thing is, this protagonist, this male protagonist is not handsy. He is very shy. He's very withdrawn, and it's understandable, but it also feels like he kind of has a sister complex too at the same time.
Well, he's got them all. He's got them all.
True.
Like, you're saying it like a sister harem or a sister complex is the only thing that you're seeing. And it's not really.
There's a lot there. There's a lot for him to unpack, and years of therapy will only do him good. That's what I'm saying. Years of therapy is what he needs. Years of therapy will be best.
Well, what I find funny, and I was thinking about it, and the only thing, if the protagonist was a little bit more aggressive, this would turn from an ecchi to not for kids.
Well, I mean, this already wasn't for kids. I mean, okay, so here, because you brought this up during the Helsing Ultimate episode, you wanted me to throw a rating. Is there a rating there? There's a rating here. Would you like to know what this rating is?
It's not R.
It's rated R for violence and profanity.
Really? Oh, they do cuss a little bit.
Yes.
Now that I mentioned, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's not horrible.
No. I mean, wouldn't you want to kind of have something a little bit higher rated too anyways, especially during the tentacle scene for the beach episode? I mean, are you telling me that's TVY? Rick, are you saying that's TVY7? Are you saying that's PG-13? Because I, in good conscience, cannot say to any friends or family who have kids that, hey, bro, you should totally watch this. Don't mind it. It's PG-13. Don't mind the tentacle rape scene that possibly could happen halfway through it.
You know, I was just thinking about it. Did you watch this in dub or sub?
Sub.
I watched it in sub too. I could not find it in dub, but I kind of want it in dub.
It would be amazing, I feel like, in dubbed. I'm just saying, I feel like it would be truly and utterly amazing in dub.
You feel like you're almost missing stuff, you know?
Yes.
or that, God, which one was it where they didn't even try? Like, they didn't even try. Which one was that? I forget. We reviewed it.
Oh man, there were quite a few where they just kind of phoned it in. I mean, like Glass Slip was the number one worst one where they just were, even the subs kind of phoned it in, the story, everything. I mean, but are you talking about, like, what are you talking about? Are you talking about Sin? Are you talking about Glass Slip?
No, Sin tried.
Are you talking about Magnificent Kotobuki? Like, what?
That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, I don't remember Glass Lip that well. But yeah, now Magnificent Kotobuki, where, like, the sub is 100% different than the dub, where the sub will be like, I'm going to get my revenge. And the dub is like, I'm going to tear your ass apart, but like in a sexual way.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's not, yeah, it's not Magnificent Kotobuki. It's, it's My First Girlfriend is a Gal.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Sorry, the one that I had told you that you need to watch.
Yes.
Dubbed. Yes. Cause it was just magnificent. It just was so much better. I feel this could be done the same way. I feel like they could go kind of the same route in this.
And they could have 100%, fun with it.
100%. I'm on board with that. 100%. Yes.
Oh man. And I don't say that a lot. I don't think I've ever said that, to be honest, that I would almost prefer whatever this was as something done like that. But there's so much potential here to just have a ball, literally and figuratively. And that'd have been so cool.
It would have been so cool. Magnificent.
Yeah,
it would have. But they didn't go that route. They kept it serious. They kept it, I want to say, they kept it true to the best of their ability.
Yeah, and they kept it. It wasn't, but it didn't take itself seriously. You know how there are some where you're just like, you're very pretentious. You the actors you paid either weren't paid enough or were paid too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like whoever was here did a good enough job that it was done really well. I realize that sounds very bland and cliche, but
it's because it is.
But the very first episode, you could almost hear the heartbreak in the first person he's able to get to go on his side. You can almost hear the heartbreak that she's going through about how no one will ever understand her pain. And then he throws out this banger of a line, like, I'll carry half your burden.
That is used all over the place, mind you. And that they even throw back at him. you carry a half our burden, let us carry half your burden.
Yeah, the problem is when they're referring to a burden, it is usually in his pants.
Well, it's not even just that. All right. I'm not saying it's not that, but I'm not saying it's not just that. All right. No, there's I just the whole show is just ridiculous. It was not a great show. I don't think it was a great show. In fact, when I was watching this, I felt like I had seen it before, which is totally possible. I may have.
Yeah, no, so I definitely have seen the first few episodes before. 100%. The rest of it, I haven't. Like, I stopped watching it maybe. So I never saw the beach episode. So I want to just throw, I never saw that.
There's no
you
could have blocked
that,
it out. You could have blocked it out. Could have been very traumatic for you, just like Last Live. It was just so traumatic for you. You blocked it out. It is our number one worst rated show. We don't have anything lower than that one right there. All right. We don't. We genuinely, we do not. Like, that was the bottom of the barrel.
Give me a second. I got to look this up. Glass Lip.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, while you do that, I'll be back in a second.
All right.
Did you look it up?
Yes. And so I did see it and I did look it up, and it is it was as bad as. Yeah. There was a reason I forgot about it.
Exactly. There's a reason why it's our worst rated one. So,
yeah,
it could be us. It could be us. You know, if there's anyone out there that has seen it and they absolutely love it, please tell me why. Please tell us why.
Glass Lip was rated at a 5.
Which means there's people out there that like it.
I was going to say someone rated it well. So I almost forgot. There was one kind of a key point in this show. Not Glass Lip, because there's nothing key in that one. Mm-hmm. But in the 35th Platoon, we were forgetting about the Demon Hunters. Like, they came to being, and apparently they're fighting against the Inquisitors, and they're fighting against witches. Like, everyone, depending on where you're born, what your belief is, or I don't have a good answer of something else, but I'm not seeing allies. I'm not seeing rationale. I'm only seeing like 5 groups, let's call it, that are fighting each other, and people are just dying.
Okay. So this is a couple of times now you've brought up Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't remember.
Oh, don't you dare.
I am going to be honest. Okay. I do not remember any Demon Hunters anywhere in there.
Or Demon Slayer, possibly.
I remember Witch Hunters.
Okay.
I remember him becoming transforming into a witch hunter.
Okay.
I remember him becoming a god or witch slayer, rather. I remember him at the end becoming a god slayer.
Okay.
But I don't remember demon.
Okay. Do you remember his sister?
Yes.
She was a demon.
They called her a demon.
Yes. And yes. His family came from a line of demon hunters. That's why his sword was so important, because that was a demon slaying tool.
Whoa.
It was passed down from his father to kill his sister. Kind of a spoiler if you haven't watched it, but that's why I keep bringing that up, because there's a whole subset. You figure if there's one, there's got to be hundreds, thousands, even millions, possibly.
See, I'm racking my mind, man. I honest to God, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I've been wrong before. Maybe I just misread the translation, but I could have sworn. Do you remember the episode?
Good. I mean, okay. So
do you remember the episode? Hang on.
Okay. Good. So I'm trying to remember. They do call her a demon. I know that she's considered the highest level of threat.
Great.
She's SS. Yep. So, okay. All right. I mean, well, like I said, I'm not gonna dispute it, because I don't remember it. It wasn't that big of a focal until the end, and even then, they hardly talked about it.
Exactly. So the reason why I thought it was so interesting that it got glossed over, and the fact that it was, if they were so strong that they were able to kill SS rated beings, gods, demons, however you'd like to put it, where did they go? And I'm referencing, I forget if it was the last episode or second to last episode where, no, it was the second to last episode, because last episode, he actually, we'll get into it later, but the second to last episode, you see his sister, like, in the middle of her turning, before she falls off of a cliff, his dad gives him the sword, says, you need to kill your sister. And she, then you see right. the horns on her head. So that's where I got the fact, the idea or the impression that they were demon hunters, like their clan of demon hunters. And in the beginning,
that makes sense. That makes 100% sense. So
in the beginning, so do you remember, I want to say episode 2 or 3, where they are going through the second stage of the mock trials, the second round of the mock trials, and the girl comes out and her stomach explodes with these vines, and we see the necromancer again. Mm-hmm. Comes out with a huge square magic barrier that people can't get through.
Right.
When he's leaving, he mentions the demon hunter clan.
Yeah, see, here's the problem, and this is why I said that there was too much going on. A lot of it, they make reference to it, and they make it so that way it feels like it's really pivotal, and that it's really altering. And it is, eventually. Some of it will be
eventually, in the book,
eventually, that we haven't seen, that we will get the answers to. But it's like, for example, like you're talking about, he makes references like, oh, you're a demon hunter and all this other stuff. It's like totally over my head, because one, we never actually really truly see a demon. And when we do actually finally see a demon, all right, it's his sister. No. Right. But it's not really her. She's not really a demon. She's turning into a demon. And then this and that. And then you have this whole convoluted process that goes along with it. It just.
Yeah.
If I feel cheated, I do. I feel cheated on this. I feel like there is so much more they could. If this was like, I don't know, a 50 episode thing, I feel like
they probably could have.
It would have been way better. I feel like they could have done so much more with it. At that point,
and see what I think they did really well here. Granted, I don't think we'll ever see a season 2, because I feel like they kind of, I'm not going to say wrapped it up nice, but they didn't really leave extra story to go. You know what I mean? Like, you can go sideways. You can go, you could definitely go forward into like the unknown, but the story they offered, if it was broken into a 50 episode arc, it could have been beautiful. It could have been wonderful. It could have been amazing. And we want more. I think they did a good job in the we want more part. The problem is that we don't want more of new. We want more of what we already seen.
So I'm going to tell you this right now, man.
You don't want more.
I want a resolution, man. And it's not that they gave us a resolution or anything like that. No, they cheated us on that resolution. They gave you a nice big jug and it was all sealed and you're out in the desert and they're like, here is a jug. And on the jug is written water. When you open the jug, all that's in there.
Rum.
Air. There's just air. There's no water. There's not even rum. There's nothing. There's just air.
Are you sure that it's not salt water to leave you thirsty for more?
No, I'm positive, because salt water, you can at least wait for it to evaporate. You can work with salt water. All right. You can work with it. Takes work, takes effort, but you can purify the salt water. It just takes a long time.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
No, what you're given is a big old empty jug of nothing.
Big old jug of broken dreams.
No, broken dreams can be put together so that way you're given something. This is nothing. You're given nothing. I've been cheated, sir. I have seen the end and it does not like me.
The most disappointing part about, to me, the most disappointing part was, you know, when everybody ended up, not everyone, but like every time a massive amount of people would end up dead, it would basically be for something that's not even a real reason. You'd be, I was curious, so I did this, and it resulted in a shit ton of people dying, or I was bored and wanted to make a bet, or
this ring just was magical and it makes everyone around you get really, really drunk and for no apparent reason whatsoever, even though it showed no magical signs at all. I had no idea what I was doing. Bull.
That didn't make them drunk. That made them horny.
That made them drunk and horny. It made what's her face? Gosh darn it. Ikuruga. It made her really drunk to where she was vomiting.
Yeah.
So it makes you drunk. You just don't get the drinks. All right. You just get the effects of it.
Now, any particular reason why everyone was reaching for it and the only one it like zapped to was our main protagonist?
Yeah, it's called Plot Ring. There's a reason why it is a plot ring, sir, because you need to understand something. That whole scene, how it's broken down, is it's flying everywhere and it goes to him. And when he's reaching up like the ring of Sauron, it just happens to magically gravitate towards his finger and magically slip on. Not due to anything he's doing. He's just reaching out for it to try and grab it. And lo and behold, like a glove, sir, it slips on over his glove, if I'm not mistaken.
The thing that gets me is everyone else was trying to get it to put on, and he was just trying to get it and like not put it on, and all of a sudden, whoop, whoop, done.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's a plot ring, sir. You can't have a needless, nonsensical, harem, ecchi episode that serves no real purpose without some plot ring going to it, you know. And for the second half of the episode, you had your plot fish.
Well, what is the plot fish, sir?
The plot fish is a giant tentacle style fish that grabs all said women, that then does very questionable things to said women while they were literally being hung out with a fishing line and being used as bait for this apparently very horny, very lewd, perverted plot fish.
Yeah.
That, you know, okay. So
there's no defending it.
As much crap as I give the show, as much crap, mm-hmm. it set out to entertain? Yes.
Oh,
100%. It did. 100% it entertained. Good or bad, it entertained you in some way, some fashion. Will this be everyone's cup of tea?
No,
not even close. Will this be something I will ask my wife to watch? No, not even close. For several reasons, but that's beside the point, simply because I don't need her judging me like she already does on a constant basis.
Right.
With this all is the what other she shows that she watches me watch anyway, since let's not add this to the list.
Oh, goodness. I was actually going to ask you like some positives, because it for everything you're right, for everything that we're talking crap about, for every issue we had with it not being fulfilling, not giving us a resolution completely, and just there were some really good parts to it. The animation was solid. It didn't jump around. It didn't give you that half-assed crap that we've seen before.
Well, to be fair, when you see things like that, they're doing that because they have to simulate the speed. All right. You can't do that cleanly in any fashion without it looking all kinds of messed up. All right.
Oh, damn. I was going to say Dragon Ball Z, but you are right, because not even they did it right sometimes.
Whenever you see animation that is super fluid and everything like that, it's because it looks really slow. It looks a lot slower in comparison, right? For this, if you're zipping and zooming along and everything like that, you're going to do what you can to try and make it look like they're going as fast as possible. If that means his eyeballs by his foot to make that happen, guess where his eyeball is going to be? It's going to be at his foot. Pure and simple. Yeah. Pure and simple.
Yeah, but here they didn't need that. Like,
no.
Yes, they were doing some fast motions and whatnot, but it wasn't anything that needed some corrections, you know. I really did not like how you've basically got a deus ex machina of a witch that has this astral blast that even though people are fighting and throwing everything they've got at this beast that the demon is consuming everything at the end, and this one little girl can blast everything away, you know, spick and span and just perfect looking. But you've got, and she's young, but you've got full-fledged adults who, for lack of a better term, have been doing this all their life and were trained for this and generations before, and they can't do hardly anything. And yet you got this little academy student going, I think I know how it works. Let me try.
Which was the problem for me.
Was or was not?
Yeah.
You said was or was not?
Was. It was a problem for me. Oh, it was a problem. You're a student. Homeboy is, you know what? Whatever.
Homeboy's got bodies. Homeboy's got a body count. And somehow he gets murked. And then you're like, I can do it. And then you do, which is bullshit. But plot's got a plot.
Well, you know, with plot rings, plot fish, and plot everything else, you know, I mean, why not? Why not? It's got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, sir. I have one question for you.
And that would be?
On a scale of up to 10, how would you rate this?
I'm hovering between an 8 and a 7. Now, the reason I'm hovering is real simple, to be perfectly honest. I'm trying to judge this objectively. I enjoyed it. I would watch it again, but I wouldn't advertise it to some of my friends and most of my family. I wouldn't be like, you got to watch this scene, because then they'd look at me and go, no, that is, I'm not watching anything again. No, that you send me.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. So what you're saying is you're giving it a 7.
7.
I'm giving it a 5.
Really? How come?
Aside from the plethora of plot rings and fish and everything else that are out there that help it along the way, it entertained me. Would I ever watch it again? No. Had you not chosen it, the likelihood of me actually watching this is very low.
Next to zero. For a few reasons. It's not eye-catching as far as the title goes. It's not new, so it's not really going to always be on shelves when you're looking. That's not
even the problem. I mean, like, I've watched plenty of old shows and everything like that that I have wanted to watch, that I've gone back and I've watched, and they're old.
Yeah, but like, those are the ones you knew about, the ones that caught your eye. Like I said, this one wouldn't catch your eye. It doesn't have a stunning...
it's not even that I knew about them, right? When I'm looking through, I look through and I read a summary. I read the synopsis and it's like, oh, this art looks pretty interesting. It's within one of the genres that I actually like. Let me take a look at it. And I read it. Oh, that's nice. Next.
Next.
Okay. That's how I felt about this. It wasn't something that would have caught my attention. And episode 1 does a good job of, in the first few seconds, catching you right away. Not with anything that's not with any of the etchy stuff. In the first few seconds, you see the main character, the protagonist, the guy it's on the cover, dying. Episode 1, first second, he's dying. He is literally, it's like, okay, well, that's interesting. Let's see what's going to happen. And then you watch the resolution of that by the end of episode 1. Well, there you go. Now my curiosity has been sated. I will now move on and fulfill my anime needs with something else, is how I felt.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
So I'm giving it a 5. You're giving it a 7.
I am. Because I would recommend it as well as watch it again.
I bet you would, you dirty rascal.
But only like episode 9, that general area.
I'm sure that's exactly where you would watch it.
For research purposes.
100% for research purposes. I am 100% certain that is exactly what you would do. That being said, we have a choice for next week. And it comes to us at the request of someone from our Discord, Jeb, who has requested that we watch Kuma Kuma Bear. And so that is exactly what we're going to watch for the next episode, is Kuma Kuma Bear.
Any idea what it's about?
A bear.
You caught my attention.
Yeah.
It was like you were fishing. And I'm like, you know what? You had my attention, but now you have my interest.
Exactly. You know, what can I say? It's I'm a man of many talents and I build it up and I can't help but go, this will 100% catch your interest and attention without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's one of them things.
Well, if you enjoyed this week's choice, or if you feel like we didn't do it enough justice, we did too much justice, or we got stuff wrong, anything else, really, honestly, anything at all, feel free to reach out to us. We would be happy to hear from you. Love to get feedback. Feel free to leave us ratings, reviews, anything like that. It always helps us out. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. If you want to buy yourself some swanky merch, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. If you want to reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook. And as always, you can talk to us, reach out to us, and hang out with us in our Discord. We're always hanging out in there, usually lurking, talking, doing everything else. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm starting a harem. So
good luck.
I don't know. Probably need main character energy somewhere, but I'm Rick and we'll see you next time.